19 minutes past 8 Central African time. We cross over to Australia. Joining us on the line, we have Chris Breen, a long-term refugee activist and spokesperson for the Refugee Action Collective in Melbourne. And we have Craig Barnes, who is a writer and barrister in Australia and a spokesperson for the Australian Lawyers Alliance and Advocacy Group. We talk about, the aftermath of the Djokovic saga and whether all of this has improved scrutiny on how refugees are treated in Australia. Chris and Greg, a very good morning to you, South African time, and welcome to you both to Radio Islam International.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so Chris, did the Djokovic saga show just how difficult it is for ordinary people to get into Australia, as opposed to Djokovic, who's seen as a VIP anti-vaxxer who was let in initially?
Initially, it certainly seemed there was a special, a treatment for Djokovic, but the case quickly shifted after that with Scott Morrison making a popular move after having let him in. There's enormous hypocrisy from the Morrison government, who is relying for its parliamentary majority on the vote of a MP here called George Christensen, who was a former coalition MP and who's called for children not to be vaccinated for civil disobedience against vaccination laws. The Djokovic case has also highlighted the horrific situation for the refugees, 32 of them in the Park Hotel, who were detained along with Djokovic. And even though Djokovic has left, they are still being detained. And the enormous powers that Morrison had to deport Djokovic could be used to free those refugees.
Craig, how do you feel about the Djokovic saga and then more importantly the refugee situation? What explanation does the government give as to why they don't deport those refugees held at the same hotel where reports suggest that the conditions are not conducive for a human? Maggots were found in the food. Why don't they deport them so they can go elsewhere and live a life with dignity?
Well, and more to the point, why don't they allow them to live in Australia? Mm. Look, the one good thing that comes out of the Djokovic case is, and I think Chris alluded to it, is the fact that there's been some focus, international focus, on the appalling cruelty of Australia's so-called border protection regime. You know, you've got people who've been detained without charge, and they'll never be charged because they've done nothing wrong other than seek a better life for themselves, including in these terrible hotels for months and years on end. And this has been an issue of some embarrassment to Australia internationally over many years, but what concerns me is that the domestic politics in Australia are that if you play the border protection card, you do well in the polls. And, the Djokovic case, I think, in part is a reflection of that. You know, people, the government was able to paint Djokovic as some sort of serious threat to civil society, which, of course, was nonsense. But, you know, more to the point, this is what the government does to people every day of the week in the way in which it mistreats them as part of its suite of migration policies.
Chris, what's been the popular sentiment in regards to the Djokovic saga? And then has that popular discourse or the narrative in Australia adequately focused on the plight of the refugees as a result of the Djokovic saga?
The popular sentiment around Djokovic has shifted as things have. There was probably originally quite high sentiment for him not getting special treatment when the Morrison government was found to have got things badly wrong in the court case. Sentiment shifted. There is a majority supporting Morrison, but it's not people that have followed the case particularly closely. When it comes to sentiment for the refugees, there has been growing sentiment to release the refugees in the Park Hotel. I mean, you asked before why they shouldn't be deported, because they've got refugee status, 25 out of 32, which the Morrison government lied about today. the bigger question is, why have they been held for 9 years? You know, people who came when they were 15 and 16 and spent a third of their lives in detention for no good reason. And there have now been 4 Labor MPs from the opposition here. We've got an election in May who've called for their release, and the Shadow Home Affairs Minister who's called for them to be put into community detention. So things really are starting to shift on a case which has been a national scandal for some time.
Now, Craig, earlier on you were saying that any government that wants to win votes just needs to talk about stricter border control. What does that say about the psyche of the Australian people? Is there a kind of xenophobia?
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt there's xenophobia in this country. I mean, I'm probably a bit older than Chris, but I can remember, you know, the Fraser government, when Malcolm Fraser was Prime Minister, who, of course, was instrumental in putting together international sanctions on apartheid South Africa. But when Malcolm Fraser was Prime Minister and you had people fleeing by boat from Vietnam, there was a very different response from the Australian government, and we welcomed those people. And, you know, I was a student at the time at school and then at university, and there wasn't the same hostility. This was whipped up about 20 years ago by John Howard when he was Prime Minister in a so-called Tampa incident, where he determined that a boat full of desperate asylum seekers, carrying a desperate asylum seekers, was not going to come to Australia. He changed the laws. He developed what's called the Pacific Solution, where you get people, and Chris would know many of these people having worked in the space, that, you know, have been sent to Manus Island, which is a really, really difficult part of Papua New Guinea, sent to Nauru, which is an impoverished nation in the Pacific, detained there for many, many years without resolution of their cases. But even where there is resolution of their cases, as Chris has said, they remain locked up. The fear I have is that both major political parties in Australia, the coalition parties, which are Conservative and the Australian Labor Party, have long supported, this policy, these tough border policies, even though there's been enormous international criticism, even though we see the damage that's done to people, and even though we are now seeing, I think, some shift, and I agree with Chris, we're seeing some shift in Australia, you know, because people are now becoming aware of just how horrific these policies are. And the Djokovic case, as I say, I think has shone the light on it. But there is a long way to go in turning that perception around, and it requires political leadership, not pandering to the xenophobia which exists on an island continent.
If I could just add to that a little bit about the psyche of the Australian people. I mean, the Morrison government certainly explicitly uses racism when it comes to refugees, and the Labor opposition not challenging that makes it harder. But the refugee movement has shifted sentiment. There's now a majority of people who think that the people remaining offshore on Papua New Guinea and Nauru should be brought here. What Morrison really plays on is inequality in Australia. He calls refugees queue jumpers and suggests they're going to get somehow something ahead of everybody else, you know, which isn't true. But despite the best efforts of the coalition to foster this, actually at the moment the refugee cruelty isn't a vote winner. I mean, that's partly why they can still get away with it. It's not the thing that people are mostly going to vote on in the coming election.
Finally then, Craig, I mean, do you think this entire Djokovic saga, with the additional spotlight on the refugee situation, has it damaged Australia's profile internationally? We seem to be seeing, you know, mixed reactions. There are those who are lauding Australia for being very disciplined, being very consistent, that even though it's the number one tennis player in the world, they sent him packing even after a court ruled in his favour. And then there are those who are calling out the Australian government for being inconsistent in terms of how they treat others, in as far as the refugees are concerned, and also, you know, opining that Australia is going to somewhat unnecessary levels in terms of how it's dealing with the pandemic.
Well, I think it's mixed, and I think you've summarised the mixture of views in what you've said. People need to understand the reason that the minister gave for cancelling Djokovic's visa, and it wasn't that he hadn't been vaxxed. It wasn't that he was on a mission in Australia to spread anti-vax views. It was because he's a high-profile person, and this is what the minister said, he's a high-profile person, and he might, as a high-profile person, because he has particular views on vaccines, which are pretty mixed, his views are pretty mixed, he might incite public unrest. It's a really dangerous and horrific decision, because what it means is any high-profile person who comes to Australia who has views which the Australian government doesn't like could find themselves treated in the same way as Djokovic. We don't like you. We think you might incite, you know, public disorder, so therefore we're going to expel you. And I think when people understand the real reason the Australian government gave for rejecting or for cancelling his visa, it shows a deeply authoritarian streak in Australia, which has, I might say, been happening over a number of years, but this is its latest manifestation.
Craig and Chris, thank you.
I agree 100% with Greg on that. Morrison made a populist move to try and give himself a boost in the polls. He said he cancelled the visa on the grounds of health, safety and good order. But it's Morrison who's let the Omicron rip the virus through Australia. There's an outbreak of COVID in detention centres that you know, they're doing nothing about. You know, it's the Morrison government which has destroyed the health of the refugees, both offshore and the Park Hotel. You know, he hasn't deported Djokovic because he cares about our health. There's enormous hypocrisy behind the decision.
Chris and Craig, we thank you both for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.